Translation. Sutta Goswami said, while Maharaj Parikshit was residing in the capital of the Kuru Empire, the symptoms of the age of Kali began to infiltrate within the jurisdiction of his state. When he learned about this, he did not think the matter very palatable. This did, however, give him a chance to fight. He took up his bow and arrows and prepared himself for military activities. Purport. The state administration of Maharaj Parikshit was so perfect that he was sitting in his capital peacefully. But he got the news that the symptoms of the age of Kali had already infiltrated into the jurisdiction of his state, and he did not like this news. What are the symptoms of the age of Kali? They are 1. Illicit connection with a woman. 2. Indulgence in meat eating. 3. Intoxication. And 4. Taking pleasure in gambling. The age of Kali literally means the age of quarrel, and the above-mentioned 4 symptoms in human society are the root causes for all kinds of quarrel. Maharaj Parikshit heard that some of the people of the state had already taken to those symptoms, and he wanted to take immediate steps against such causes of unrest. This means that at least up to the resume of Maharaj Parikshit, such symptoms of public life were practically unknown, and as soon as they were slightly detected, he wanted to root them out. The news was not palatable for him, but in a way it was, because Maharaj Parikshit got a chance to fight. There was no need to fight with small states because everyone was peacefully under his subordination, but the Kali Yuga miscreants gave him his fighting spirit a chance for exhibition. A perfect Kshatriya king is always jubilant as soon as he gets a chance to fight, just as a sportsman is eager when there is a chance for a sporting match. It is no argument that in the age of Kali such symptoms are predestined. If so, then why was there preparation for fighting out such symptoms? Such arguments are offered by lazy and unfortunate men. In the rainy season, rain is predestined, and yet people take precautions to protect themselves. Similarly, in this age of Kali, the symptoms, as above mentioned, are sure to infiltrate into social life, but it is the duty of the state to save the citizens from the association of the agents of the age of Kali. Maharaj Parikshit wanted to punish the miscreants indulging in the symptoms of Kali, and thus save the innocent citizens who are pure in habit by culture of religion. It is the duty of the king to give such protection, and Maharaj Parikshit was perfectly right when he prepared himself to fight. Om Jnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshura Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Pashtatade Shatarine Pancha Kalpa Tarubhascha Kripa Sindhu Bhavacha Patitanam Pavanevyo Vaishnavevyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadara Srivasati Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Hare Krishna. Thank you for allowing me to be on the Vyasasan again and try and purify myself and try and speak about something that will be helpful to a spiritual life. To glorify Krishna and his devotees as well. Please bless me so I can speak something like this. And I also take the permission of everyone here and online to bless me in this way as well. I went to Mayapur at the end of 2018 on a yatra with His Holiness Bhakti Charaswami Guru Maharaj. And on that yatra, we went to Mayapur. And in Mayapur, we took some tour of the Gurukul there. Who's been to the Gurukul? Anyone? Yeah, it's pretty amazing. I felt when I got there, I felt this is the best place to be in education. Not just education, but it was really fun. All these children and adults, they were just engaged so wonderfully, so happily. In a number of service, we'd think menial, but they were taking so much pleasure. It was a place of nature, beauty, self-sufficiency. I was really inspired when I got there. I didn't see it before then. And we received a lecture by the Gurukul president. I don't remember his name. He was very, very enthusiastic. He had this purity about him when he spoke to us in Mayapur. And when he spoke, there was not even a cough in the audience. There was no one slightly distracted. There was the full attention was on him. He had so much purity. I was really inspired by him. He gave a lecture about the Gurukul, you know, what it is about, what education is that they're giving to the children, the benefits of Gurukul, importance of Gurukul. And then he gave a story. And the story he gave was that this CEO from America, if I'm right, America or the West, she came to the Gurukul to see the children there, the kind of education that they were receiving. And she was in, she was struck with surprise just seeing the children and their behavior, the level of education that they were receiving. And she, the CEO of this big company, basically, she said that I can take any one of these small boys and I would be happy for them to take my position as CEO. And when he said that, I was like, whoa. This is real education. The children are being brought up to get all these lovely characteristics. And, you know, CEO in the West comes and says, you know, I can pick any one of these, age 5 to 15. And she says, I can take any one of them, and I'd be happy if they take my responsibility. So that was just amazing for me to hear. Completely inspired. I asked, you know, can I come to the Gurukul? I was like 20 or something. And I was like, he said, well, it's too late for you. It's too late. You know, 5 to 15, I think, is the age right now. And I was distraught. You know, I was thinking, okay, if I don't learn that, at least I can teach that. Well, how can I teach? I don't know anything. So in this, currently what we're speaking about in Srimad Bhagavatam is about leadership and leadership qualities. And the CEO saw these leadership qualities in the small children of Gurukul. We're also talking about how Maharaj Parikshit received the age of Kali. Maharaj, as an ideal ruler, punishes Kali. But Sonaka Rishi, he asks questions, as we've just heard in the previous verses, you know, why is Krishna not involved in these topics? Or what is the benefit if Krishna is not involved in these topics? Why did Maharaj simply punish Kali? Why did he not kill him? And things like that. And so in this verse, we also hear about Yamaraj being invited to the assembly. So in this verse, we're talking, it's basically the summary of this verse. Everything is peaceful. And Maharaj, Parikshit, heard the news that Kali has made his entry. And he's feeling jubilant, like a sportsman. He's ready to fight, you know, the challenger. So I also want to talk about about the mistaken society that we have and the tools and weapons that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave us to fight them. So I want us to feel as excited to fight Kali Yuga as Maharaj Parikshit. At least I want to feel like that. And I'm feeling excited to feel like that, because it's kind of difficult, you know, when you're up against such a challenge. We hear Kali Yuga, we get so many fears when we hear Kali Yuga, but Maharaj Parikshit, because of his knowledge, because of his devotion to Krishna, he wasn't scared. He took up his weapons, his arrows and bows, and he was feeling jubilant. So yeah, that's the goal. But also in ISKCON, I would say that we have such a perfect system. Book distribution, Harinam Sankirtan. We have these ISKCON bullets going around, and we're shooting them at everyone. We have also these new ISKCON grenades by Antaranga Prabhu, these beetroot grenades. If anyone's tried them, they'll be astonished. And I'm sure you all know what I'm talking about. So we have these things, you know, serving the Vaishnavas. We have these small and subtle tools that we're using already to defeat Kali, and it doesn't feel like a fight. It doesn't feel like a fight. We're just enjoying. We're enjoying throwing bullets into people's mouths. We're enjoying book distribution. When Godrinath Prabhu speaks, we see how much enjoyable it is to fight against Kali. It doesn't feel like a fight. He feels so jubilant. So this is the wonderful gift that Srila Prabhupada has given us. You can fight Age of Kali so simply, just have fun in Krishna consciousness. Every day is an adventure, my Guru Maharaj says. Every day is an adventure in Krishna consciousness. Use that adventure to fight the Age of Kali. So simple. So simple. It almost isn't a fight. So the excellent sportsmanship, excellent sports person or excellent boxer, for example, has a really good coach. Anyone who's very, very talented when it comes to sports, especially Muhammad Ali, he had an excellent coach. And using the advice given to him by his coach, he became an excellent person in today's world. So he's still remembered because he took instructions from the coach. So in the purport, Srila Prabhupada says, in the rainy season, rain is predestined. And yet people take precautions to protect themselves. He means take an umbrella in the rain. So the umbrella that we're constantly under the shelter of is Srila Prabhupada's umbrella of ISKCON. And we just stay here. We'll enjoy, we'll get purified, and Age of Kali will have no chance. The first line that Srila Prabhupada mentions in the purport is that the state administration of Maharaj Parikshit was so perfect that he was sitting in his capital peacefully. When Maharaj Yudhishthira was ruling as well, Srila Prabhupada mentions in his purports that there was no severe cold or severe heat. Everyone was happy, there was no distress, everyone was engaged. And so this is real peace. Everyone is engaged. Even the climate doesn't hurt, you know. No severity of cold, no severity of heat. Everything is nicely kept in order. So that is a peaceful situation. And to get to that peaceful situation, we need to do more Sankirtan Yajna. The Yajna, obviously, will satisfy not only Krishna, demigods, everyone will be satisfied. So this is happening slowly. But also what we need in society is good leaders that have good education. And we can see in today's society that the leaders, what education did they have? Did they go to, how much do they know about their own soul, about Krishna, about their relationship with Krishna, about where we are in the material world? They have no idea. So without that basic knowledge, how can they even feel like they can run the world if they don't have the basic information? That's Brahma Jigyasa, the basic, the level one. So, for good leaders, we need to have good education. I want to ask, does anyone know where the first university was in the whole world? India. What was it called? I don't know either. I don't know. So actually, yes, the university means a high-level educational institute in which students study for degrees and academic research is done. So that is a university. And we know about the Gurukul in the Mahabharat. You know, when we're watching Mahabharat, reading Mahabharat, we hear the Gurukul, the Pandavas attended, Kauravas attended, Dronacharya was in charge. This is the basic educational system we had in Gurukul. Not only 5,000 years ago, but much more. When Krishna was also here, he took education in a Gurukul. So the Gurukul has been, you know, university, a high level of institution, has been here for a long time. And Srila Prabhupada wanted to re-establish this Gurukul system for the world and create leaders in our society. So the first, in the West, there's a lot of philosophy, there's a lot of culture. Anyone know Socrates? Srila Prabhupada mentions him quite a lot. So Socrates, he's the first philosopher of Western thought. His ideas, his morals, his principles started, you know, the Western moral thought. So he's basically the father of the Western culture. And what does he believe? Actually, Srila Prabhupada talks about him quite a lot, about his quotes on austerity of speech, just like Bhishma Dev gave, you know, don't talk about anything that's not pleasurable to the devotees or people in general. Don't talk about anything that's not beneficial and anything that's not truthful. So he was giving these lovely, advice. Unfortunately, we don't follow Western devotees. The world doesn't follow this kind of thing. You know, he's the father of Western culture, but no one is actually following his teachings. Srila Prabhupada also mentions that he believed in the soul, and when they tried to kill him, it's a long story, but they didn't like him so much. They wanted to kill him, just like every other good person. And they tried to chase him, and he said to them, "You can't catch my soul." So this is the father of Western culture, and he's saying things like this. So he knew he had a soul, and they said, "Okay, fine. If you believe you have a soul, just take hemlock, just die. You're not afraid." So actually, he voluntarily took hemlock, and he killed himself. But he's not afraid. He's not afraid. He was a genius, and Srila Prabhupada, you know, does mention that he was a good man with very good spiritual qualities. Socrates had a student called Plato, and his student was Aristotle. And then also Aristotle had a student called Alexander the Great, who conquered a lot. I don't know where he conquered, but he conquered. But no one knows who the guru of Socrates is. So the Socrates, actually there's one devotee in Mayapur, and he does a lot of research, and he told me, So he told me, actually, there's the research done. It's not obviously Shastric, but he does research based on Western and Vaishnava culture. He links them up. And he said that there's a Silk Road in India from China to Asia. And that has been in existence for 1,400 years at the time of Marco Polo. So they used to do all these trading routes. And he mentions that Socrates was traveling on these trading routes, and he saw brahmanas walking there. And the brahmanas were chanting Vedic hymns, and Socrates was obviously intrigued, took their association, and took their initiation. It is said, or he told me at least, it is said that the brahmanas worshipped the sun three times a day. So they were, you know, Vedic brahmanas. This was, I'm not sure how long it was ago, 1400 years, I'm not sure. Anyway, but it said that, you know, he took their initiation, and he gave that knowledge. I mean, otherwise, how could he have such realizations about the soul? Firstly, it wouldn't make sense that he had a spiritual teacher. But then he gave that information to Plato and Aristotle. And then Caesar, Julius Caesar, came to England. And the first place he came to England is known as Bath. So here's a really cool fact, is that he took good Brahminical qualities and wanted to establish it in England. And when he came to England, actually we were all, England, British people were all barbarians. They didn't have a language, culture, they were unclean, they didn't have etiquette, and so he gave them cleanliness, and he established Bath. That's Bath, basically. You have showers, you know? Just have a basic principle. Have basic etiquette. Clean yourself. So you set up all these baths there. Yeah, I know. So there was no currency, and he kind of gave the British people, you know, an idea of what living actually is, based on the teachings of Socrates. So then the ironic thing is that the first university established in England is Oxford. So Oxford has those teachings as well. Obviously, this diluted down a lot, but Oxford is the first England university. And then Columbus went to America and established Harvard. And Harvard has the same kind of line of thought, obviously diluted down. The philosophy is still there, obviously diluted down. But those are the, you know, when you go to America, Harvard is the best. When you go to England, Oxford is the best. There's a reason. There's a line here. And then later on, the British people, as we know, they went to India. And they didn't like, you know, that the Indians and Pakistanis were getting along, Gandhi movement and things like that. But they told the Indians, you know, this is our knowledge as well. This is you know, real culture. Whatever you're following is total nonsense. Follow us. And they obviously had, you know, Oxford University of Thought, you know, and they brought it to India and said, this is real education. And Indians believed that, and we can see now that, you know, British teachings happening in India. They didn't know that the actual original teachings came from the Brahmanas 1400 years ago, or however long. So now, you know, many Indians from India, like, you know, Western thought, everything's getting westernized. They want to come to America, want to come to England and learn. But actually, the Vedic culture is there already, you know. So when we grow up in this world, we're so confused already. Where is the best education? Where should I go for university? Where should I, you know, how should I live in this world? We get this body, we get this machine, but there's no instruction manual. The parents don't have it, but the instruction manual is the Vedas. Instruction manual is Srila Prabhupada's teachings. But when we're growing up in this world without ISKCON, very difficult. There's a lot of confusion. What is the right thing to do? What is the wrong thing to do? Srila Prabhupada himself said, you know, he was forced to go to school. He didn't want to go to school. You know, they were teaching things like that. His father didn't want him to go to school either. Shishi Radha Gokula Nanda ki jai. Shishi Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman ki jai. Shishi Gonitai ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. So, we have so many horrible things that is forced upon us, you know, society pressure. You should go to university, you should get education. Fortunately, I didn't go to university. I took apprenticeship, that's not the thing. Luckily, yeah, my mother, she was very nice. but it's forced upon the society, you know, you get a degree, you get a paper, and, you know, just, you know, this is the way for enjoyment. This is the absolute truth. Your paper, your degree, that's it. That's your life sorted out, you know? And, you know, what are we going to do? We have to listen to the only authority, our parents, from childhood. So we go to university, and we're still confused. We don't know what the aim of life is. We have so many different passions, so many different desires, so many different hopes. We want to serve, but we get, you know, put into this one slot, you know. In India, you know, they have this... when you're born, they put, I think they put money, I think they put something in front of the babies, and whatever the babies go towards, that's, you know, that's them, you know, that's their job in the future, like doctor, engineer, mainly those two in India, and other things like that. Put money on the side, oh, they're going to be a great, you know, accountant, or, you know, banker. You know, this is the kind of thing that we get forced to do just because, you know, as babies, we don't know what we're doing at the end of the day. So also Brahma, he gets born into ignorance. When he was born, he didn't know anything. He had to, he didn't know what was going on. He didn't know who he was, where he was, who Krishna is, who God is, where, yeah, exactly. So like, we're born in the same way Brahma is also born. What did Brahma do? He looked for the truth. We all have to be truth seekers. We all have to look for what's right and wrong. And we have to follow Srila Prabhupada's teachings. That's the only way. So Brahma was also born into ignorance, but he got guidance from Vishnu, thankfully. You know, like this. His university was Vishnu's belly button. So as I said, I found out a little too late about Gurukul, otherwise I would have gone there. Srila Prabhupada, in his time, he was giving so many lectures and letters to his devotees, you know, establish Gurukul here, In the Ocean of Mercy at the end, Srila Prabhupada is advising one of the wealthiest people in India to send his sons to Gurukul. And the wealthy man, he said, you know, that's a great idea. He was listening to Srila Prabhupada very submissively. But in the end, his sons didn't attend. But Srila Prabhupada said that if your sons attend, they won't be, you know, shudras. They'll be, you know, they'll be the leaders of society. So to get that leadership quality, you need to have the great education. Gurukul is there. So Vrindavan, Texas, Mayapur, they also have Gurukuls. I'm sure there's other ones, I'm not sure. Srila Prabhupada also mentions that from the ages 5 to 15 is the most vital time in your life where you soak in everything. And after that, you get your freedom. Obviously, that we learn that after 15, just give your children freedom. And then you use that plot of 5 to 15, whatever you learn in that time, and that becomes, you know, your certain character qualities and stuff like that. So that age gap, 5 to 15, is exactly what Gurukul has in their system. Primary school, high school education, I think, leaves at, 15 as well. I would have learned so much more if I went to Gurukul. I think all of us, when we went to Mayapur, we were thinking, why didn't my school have that? Why didn't my school have that? Why didn't I get this education? Why couldn't I get this training? I don't know, at least I felt like that. In Gurukul, you get taught the essence of religion, Sanskrit, philosophy, literatures, archery, martial arts. You learn leadership skills, discipline, character, speaking, logic, reasoning, patience, determination, humility. You learn these good qualities that make you a leader in society. I couldn't write anything for what I learned in my education, though. I was trying to give a comparison, but I was like the kind of skills and qualities I learned compared to Gurukul, nothing. Couldn't learn anything close to that in my primary or secondary education. Nothing close to that. I learned patience, the school teachers. I just learned how to be patient with them. That's probably the only thing I learned, tolerance, you know. In Gurukul, you learn about things and how to apply them in the rest of life, how to apply them and solve solutions to real life problems. But in modern society, you'd be forced to remember things until an exam, and then you'd have to forget. You just want to forget them at the end, and they're not helpful. You won't do anything with that information, potentially, after the exam. You're just forced to remember things. In Gurukul, you'd be taught about the science of Krishna and the ultimate truth. But in modern education, you'd be taught that life comes from chemicals. As Radha Govinda and Mataji did a video, life comes, the so-called parody, life comes from chemicals. And that, you know, just be happy, merry, and enjoy. There's no soul. You know, death is, they don't even talk about death. So this is the difference. In modern education, which is one of the horrible things, is that the fees are there. I just heard a lecture the other day, and it said you have to pay like $40,000 for the university, and at the end you get a paper. Not a job. You get a paper. And you have to pay the money back. And nowadays, people are looking not for paper, they're looking for experience. So suddenly, after you come out of university, you may be like, I have to work, in something completely unrelated. With a less, what is the intention to go to university? I'm going to be having the life. What happens when you get out of university? There's still no information. What is life? What is happiness? Still chasing something that they don't know. So, at least, unless we're in ISKCON. In Gurukul, there's no fee. I think there is a little bit, but there's basically no fee. I think it's like 100 per, I don't know. It was a very, very small amount when Prabhu was speaking in Mayapur. But as we know, with no fee, the CEO came to Mayapur and said, I can take any one of these boys. Qualifications there, and job is waiting for them. That's the difference. In Gurukul, you get taught how to be a Brahmana, a Vaishnava. But you get taught how to have a job. in modern education. You get taught how to be the servant of a boss you don't know yet. In any job, that's modern education. You get to be taught how to be a Shudra, basically, compared to the teachings of the Brahmanas and Vaishnavas in the Gurukul. So who would you rather lead the society? A person in Gurukul or a person in modern education? Unless they're in ISKCON. And Maharaj Parikshit was also a Gurukuli. And see how nicely he's solving the problems of Kali Yuga. So when Srila Prabhupada says protect ourselves from the rain, it means stay in ISKCON. And we know that staying in ISKCON means following the four eggs and chanting 16 rounds. But also, we're up against a lot of agents of Kali, as Srila Prabhupada mentioned in the purport. We were hearing in the other lecture, Kali has so many of these descendants, and all of them have different horrible qualities, like Abhay Prabhu. No, I'm kidding. All these different qualities, and they're affecting society. Their influence is causing so much distress. All these different hundreds of different negative qualities. And so we're up against that. When we go out of this temple, when we go out into the real world, we can probably see the different agents of Kali in every single person, you know? So that's what we're fighting against. We have, however, as I mentioned, our preaching. And that's one of the biggest ways that Srila Prabhupada wanted us to defeat Kali. He said 50% sadhana, 50% preaching. 50% of your entire Krishna consciousness should be on sadhana, and the other 50% is on preaching. I don't know if I follow that. I just try and, you know, read as much as I can, chant, you know, eat, and as many grenades as I can. That's not what Srila Prabhupada wanted me to do. 50% is preaching. 50% is sadhana. So that's a big gap. So our tool, what is our tool to preach, is that, you know, Srila Prabhupada says, Sevan Moki Jivago. Everything begins from the mouth. You eat Krishna Prasad, and you also, you know, devotion starts from the mouth. Speak Krishna whenever you get a chance. So our tool is Jare Deko Tare, Tare Kaho Krishna Upadesh. Wherever you go, whoever you speak to, tell them about Krishna. Tell them their relationship with Krishna. That's the basic tool. You know, just, this is the basic thing that Srila Prabhupada says. Srila Prabhupada says that preaching is basically enlightening others. In the beginning, however, it's a little difficult for me when you don't know so much, for sure, when you don't have so much purity. But we see devotees in ISKCON, and they're preaching so spontaneously. We can probably just imagine some devotees in the temple. And you can see that whenever you talk to them, Krishna is in the center. So they naturally have that purity, that genuine concern for others, that Krishna is always in the center. And that happens, as we know, from purity. Amarendra Prabhu said in his class that when we fill ourselves up with so much knowledge and bhakti, just like we fill ourselves with so much prasad, we tend to burp. So when we fill ourselves with so much bhakti and knowledge, that burping will just happen. That preaching will just happen naturally. So we have to fill ourselves up with so much knowledge and bhakti that it just comes out. You know, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, "Purify yourself, then purify others." He wanted ourselves to be perfect. But in another class, in D-Land, we were talking about Dhritarashtra and Vidur, and we were compared to Dhritarashtra, and one of the points was that we're all Dhritarashtras, yet we're trying to be like Vidaras. We have to preach like Vidar preached. And with Dhritarashtra, because we are so conditioned in our, you know, in our Krishna consciousness, we have so many desires, so much attachment, Dhritarashtra. But this understanding of our Dhritarashtra quality, yet at the same time we have to be like Vidar. So it's difficult, but Srila Prabhupada has given us ISKCON, thankfully. Skipping a few things here. But one thing that I wanted to mention is that when purity is there and the genuine concern for other devotees is there, preaching happens naturally. And if you're not so knowledgeable, Srila Prabhupada says, you can still preach. But one of the easiest way I found how to preach myself is make relationships. Build relationships. Give others time, give others attention. You don't know so much, that's fine. But give others your love. Give others your care. People are coming to Krishna consciousness every day. And they need... Chaitanya Prabhu was talking to me the other day. He says that, you know, when a new person comes in Krishna consciousness, they need a lot of loving. A person, you know, who's their friend, who's their guide, who's their mentor, who has a lot of genuine concern from them. So in that way, we can also, as Srila Prabhupada says, preaching is 10%, 90% is relationships. Like, you know, philosophy, 10%. Relationship is 90%. So the relationship has to be there. And also Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he gave us the biggest secret and the biggest gift is the Maha Mantra. And the best way we can use that facility, in Ujjain we were discussing, my Guru Maharaj, His Holiness Bhakti Charaswami, was giving a talk and he said that just when COVID is gone, when the gates open and you know you can walk on the streets, everyone in ISKCON should do like the biggest Maha Sankirtan ever. We should go out just like they did in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's times against Nawab Hussein Shah. With everyone, Mridangas, everyone had musical instruments. And they were just marching. This is what we should do just after COVID is gone. When the gates open, when the doors open, this is what we should do. We should be the first ones out. And we should just do the biggest Sankirtan ever. So this is something that he said. And something that I'm very excited to do with all of you as well. So we talked about Gurukul and the advantages of Gurukul. And the comparison between Gurukul and modern education, what it gives. What we can do after COVID has, you know, the gates of COVID open, and also that loving concern and a genuine heart is the best tool we have for ourselves only, but preaching is making relationships with devotees, keeping those relationships strong, making sure that devotees are staying in ISKCON before, you know, trying to get other devotees. Make sure the devotees are already established well in ISKCON. They have a nice situation there. So... yeah, like that. Okay, so I'll end here. Please forgive me for any mistakes, offenses. Please allow me to ask for any comments and questions.
Thank you very much for your class, Prabhu. We got here a question online, so I wanted to ask that question. So she's saying here, do you not think that for a holistic upbringing a child needs exposure to the outside world? How can they develop resilience? How can they develop resilience in such a sheltered life?
What was the question?
Okay, can you repeat to you? Sorry. Do you not think that for a holistic upbringing, a child needs exposure to the outside world? How can they develop resilience in such a sheltered life?
Yeah. I mean, does anyone want to answer the question, senior devotees? Or Krishna Prabhu? So, actually, we have some examples of little children in Mayapur being initiated from the ages like 12. I think, you know, they're very, very small children and they're initiated. They're doing yagyas and all these performances in the Brahmacharya Ashram. They're sheltered. They have, you know, they're very kept in. But what is helping them is the, you know, of course they're sheltered. They're learning, however, occupational skills in their so-called sheltered life. They're learning about what is happening in the real world without having to go there in the first place and develop the qualities and skills to fight that effect when they do go out. Like the teacher of Gurukul, he was saying that these boys are taught and they, you know, these boys are taught, you know, occupational skills and they're given the resources to fight Kali Yuga, basically, in a subtle way, that they can go out, they can, like some desires of the boys, he said there, they want to be musicians, they want to have, you know, they want to be scientists and things like this, they want to be mathematicians, and he said that we facilitate that, that we give them the resources to have the occupation that they want right after they leave Gurukul, when they're 15 or however long they want to stay. Just if even if they have a materialistic, or not even materialistic, but an occupational skill in the material world, in the real world, then they'd go out there, and so-called real world, but they go out there and they'd have the right training from the Gurukula perspective, and they'd come to the job and say, you know, I've been in a monastery, I've had this much training, this is my work experience, you know, and actually many times those children are very, very successful, and they have the tools ready to fight the materialistic people. So holistic, yes, but they're getting the higher taste where they are, and that higher taste will protect them. That love for Krishna, that devotion to Krishna, will give them so much purity that even though, like myself, you know, I stepped away from Krishna consciousness at a time, that education from the children, that age 5 to 15, whatever you get, that comes back. Also, like so many people left ISKCON, Prayojan Prabhu was saying about these Gurukuli boys, they left Krishna consciousness, but they came back because the purity was there. That they could see what is in the material world, and they can see that's wrong, that's wrong, that's wrong, but what I know, that's right. It's terrible, but I know what the right thing is. And they can just, you know, they can be leaders even in childhood. Hare Krishna. Anyone?
Hare Krishna, thank you for your class, Prabhu. I just had a question. When you were in Mayapur in the Gurukul, have they done any research or studies about the occupation that the Gurukulis take up post graduating?
Researchers in, you know.
So, what type of occupation do they actually take up so they can also preach and practice in both worlds of their spirituality and materially?
You're saying that the, for example, a child wants to be a mathematician. They'd research like the accountancy jobs.
Yeah. So, for example, like the Harrow Boys School, the private school there, about 68% of those students go into CEO positions or leadership roles, government or business sectors. So, have the Gurukul also undertaken any research like this?
They didn't mention that in the class, but I'm sure they prepared the boys very nicely. I'm sure they prepared them very nicely. Yeah. But there was no mention of that in the class.
Actually, there's a nice example of a Gurukul education, and in here at the manor, his name's Vaishnava Prabhu. And he was called Saurabh before, and he's been brought up through Gurukul, and he now leads the Sangha group for studying Srimad Bhagavatam. He's also manager in the Bhaktivedanta Manor Foundation, and it's an incredible thing. And I remember when he first came here, he was like sort of fresh from Gurukul, and he had a sort of upbringing here to help out with the congregational preaching and everything. And he's a wonderful example of a development that comes within the ISKCON setup. And and now, as I say, he's not only the manager of BMF, he's also leading Sangha groups and so much now. And the really interesting thing all the slokas he learned have now got a real, he's getting vigyan, isn't it? Realized knowledge. He's applying it in his life. And so we can see very much with Vaishnav Prabhu, there's an amazing example of an ISKCON upbringing, but also ISKCON development in terms of service, where you can do service as well within the ISKCON setup. It's there, but of course, sometimes we have to go out in the world, but the foundation is there, like you say. They never forget what they've got. They can, their self-realization will happen as they just journey through life, and it'll never lose in this lifetime, what to speak of the next lifetime. There, so we have examples there of, like you are speaking, an optimistic note. It is optimism. You know, whatever you learn in this ISKCON will be the, it's a seed, and it will fructify. You know, either this life, next life, or then whenever. It's all positive. No loss or diminution, they say, don't they? Okay.
Thank you for a very nice class, Prabhu. Very, very nice. I just wanted to add on the question online about resilience and developing resilience. I think somebody else also asked that on the other side. We actually had a Guru Kuli from Mayapur here visit us for a couple of months. He was also doing some service in Soho Street. His name was Gopal. And I think he was in his 20s before he started doing the traveling around the world and finding activities to preach. And he exhumed confidence, he exhumed a level of maturity for a 20-year-old. And as you explained, that a chief executive of a company had gone and visit there, and they were happy to actually take one of the Gurukul kids to be the CEO of the company. And in the same vein, we've had many ISKCON development students, Gurukulis, who are actually already working out there in the corporate world and are making advancement because of the Vigyan, as Karajana Prabhu mentioned, and the spiritual foundations that it gives the individuals as a platform to build their material life on. And so, yeah, that's what the resilience it can develop in order to give people the ability to develop a successful material life, but in a way that is not just based on greed and selfishness, which is what only the material aspects of the education teaches us.
Thank you.
Hello, Hare Krishna. Thank you for the wonderful class. I'd just like to add how one of the reasons why we get so bewildered and lost in life is because we don't get the guidance. Like Srila Prabhupada, when he was born, he had his astrology done, and his father perfectly knew his life he would live. He'd become 70, he'd make 108 temples, establish them. So having that knowledge, his father was able to predict his life, and therefore accustomed to that, helping him with Mridanga lessons, teaching Mridanga, helping him serve the deities and things like this to prepare him for this life. Mm-hmm. And because we're not getting that kind of calculation of our future, in the Western world, I'm not sure if it's still going on in the Eastern side, but we have no idea about life, we have no idea who we're going to be, what we're supposed to be doing, and so it just adds to the difficulty of, as you say, bewilderment in life, of what we're trying to do in life, what's the purpose. Mm-hmm. But because, I'm sure in Maharaj Yudhisthira's time as well, they had their astrology done, so they knew, the family knew how to prepare them to be the person they were meant to be, but we have no idea who we're meant to be, or what we're meant to be doing. So it just adds to the difficulty. We don't know who Krishna is, and we don't know who or what we're meant to be doing. So it just stacks up and makes life so difficult and so confusing, as you say. So I'll just mention that.
Thank you. Okay.
Sorry for input, but I just feel that this question was in regard of
those kids who are not in the Gurukulis, who have no chance to go Gurukulis, live in Haro for them. If you are from Indian background, then you have more chance, because kids hanging together, they have some Vedic vibe. Mm-hmm. For ordinary people, you know, all you can do is give them best you can while he's growing up. And then you have to send him to school. So he may drift away, he may not, but he will remember always the way you treat him. So they may fall away, drift away, as especially non-Indian devotees. They have problems with their kids, but you don't force them. They'll come back eventually. They have to experience this world. They have to, and then learn in the end. There are many number of them. I know they're senior. They went through all this. They even drifting away. And then they still remember Krishna. And then, you know. So that's the way. We don't have a Varnashrama state or something which you can protect our kids. You know, what you going to do? That's what you do. You know, you have to educate them, and then, and besides that, you know, they always can be engaged if they hang with others who are also from Vaishnava background. You know, something will be there, but you have to just leave them to make their own choice. Yeah. Can't do much without established society.
Antar Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai, Jagat Guru Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai, Gaur Premanande Hari Hari Bol.